Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is from John chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. 500 years ago, coming this October 31st, on the eve of All Hallows, on the eve of All Saints Day, Martin Luther, a 34-year-old Augustinian monk, preacher, university lecturer, and Old Testament professor, took an 8-minute walk from the monastery where his home was on one side of the little town of Wittenberg to the castle church on the other side. And there he posted his protest against indulgences and their sale. He had at that point absolutely no idea that his actions would change his life, change the church's life, and even change the world. And yet it has. It's amazing, isn't it, to see what God can do through the simple Word of God, His gospel proclaimed in its truth and purity. When it is set free, it turns everything upside down. Even when spoken by an unknown friar, the gospel of Jesus Christ changes everything. Now, we sit here as, well, heirs of the Reformation, but I have to ask you, have you studied the Lutheran teachings? Not just come to Bible class or church, but have you studied what it is to be a Lutheran? Have you looked at the confessions? Have you continued to study Luther's small catechism and maybe even advanced up to the large catechism? Or have you even taken time to look at the 95 theses that started this whole mess that we call the Lutheran Church? I'm not going to sit here or stand here and read you the 95 theses today, and you could thank God for that. But what I am going to do is I'm going to read you the first three. Luther begins his 95 theses this way. Our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, when He said repent, willed that the whole life of believers should be repentance. Statement 2. Thesis 2. This word cannot be understood to mean sacramental penance, i.e., confession and satisfaction which is administered by the priest. Luther's becoming a Lutheran. Thesis 3. Yet it means not inward repentance only. Nay, there is no inward repentance which does not outwardly work a sordid mortification of the flesh. Luther's point being, if you are truly repentant, fruits of repentance will abound. Good works will be there. Your life will change. You will not continue in the sinful way of life that was handed down to you that you're repenting of. Or at least you'll strive not to. A few hundred years later, our own church body had C.F.W. Walther. And C.F.W. Walther, Dr. Walther, who's the first president of our Senate, first president of our seminary in St. Louis, author of Der Lutheraner, a very busy man, had this to say. Oh, he was also a parish pastor, I should add. Because, you know, he had all the time in the world. When he speaks of the Christian life, unless a Christian clearly understands this fact, he ceases to be a Christian. What constitutes a person a Christian is this: believing knowledge that he is a miserable, accursed sinner who would be lost forever if Christ had not died for him. We confessed that today, didn't we? If we lose this idea, we not only cease being Lutheran, but Walther is correct, we would cease being a Christian. And yet what Luther and Walther are doing is what every faithful pastor and every faithful layperson has done throughout the centuries, and that is pointing people who have ears to hear and eyes to see to Jesus. For He is the one who is the truth that will set you free. That's why we sang that Christmas hymn to start. It's not just because Luther wrote it, but because it declares to you what Jesus has done. Yet, in the culture that we live in today, immature Christians and those who are unconverted will look at, well, all religions, it seems, and particularly all denominations of Christianity, and think that they're all just alike. But they're not. You see, all colors look exactly the same when you're in the dark as well. It's important to understand this. We need to bring the light of the world, which is Jesus Christ, to them. By our God-given faith in Christ and His Word, the Christian life then is called to mirror the light of Christ to his neighbor, as the light of Christ guides us in our daily lives. Is it any wonder why there's so much confusion over what simply truth is? I mean, on Good Friday, Pontius Pilate had asked that amazing question, what is truth? Jesus shows him the answer. He doesn't really want to know it. And no one else has bothered to listen since, it seems. It's amazing that even for people like us who are descendants of heirs of the Reformation, our confession of faith becomes often like a church bell. It rings on Christmas and Easter. It'll ring out for a wedding or funeral. But the rest of the year, it's just something high above in a tower that appears silent and dead. Of this, we must all repent. Look at our text. Jesus is having a discussion with a very forgetful group of Jews. They are, well, as the text says, they believed in him, but apparently not that much. Because when he says something to them, they kind of rebuke it with ignorance, which is really sad to see because that happens quite often. They are offspring of Abraham, and they claim that they had never been a slave to anyone. Have you read your Old Testament? Let's see. They were slaves to the Egyptians. They were slaves to the Assyrians. They were slaves to the Babylonians. They were slaves to the Greeks. And they're in a form of slavery with the Romans right now, but they've never been a slave to anyone. If you don't learn from your past, you're destined to repeat it, I guess. But Jesus is speaking even deeper than earthly slavery. He's speaking of a type of slavery that impacts the rich and the poor, the young and the old, the male and the female, and the Jew and the Gentile alike. Jesus says, and this is really important to pay attention to, because Jesus says, amen, amen. Now, your English Bible translates it, truly, truly. If you have the old King James at home as your preferred Bible, it's verily, verily. But in the Greek, it's amen, amen. He says, amen, which is a way of him saying, listen to what I'm about to say. Or if you're a rapper today, you might say, word. Right? He says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. The Reformation was, is, and must always be about the Son. The Senate chose wisely in the tagline for our Reformation 500 celebration. It's still all about Jesus. And it must always be that way. You see, Jesus alone did what we could not do. He lived the sinless life and yet died the sinner's death. Jesus took to his cross the very sins that you and I confess today and the very sins that you and I will commit this afternoon and tomorrow, and I pray, confess as well. By his life, death, and resurrection, we have been set free to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. This is the point of celebrating the Reformation. For the Reformation must be about the gospel. It must be about Jesus and what he has done, not about Martin Luther. Sure, it's great to learn what he did. It's an amazing history. He was truly an amazing and gifted man. But the thing that made him most amazing and gifted is he proclaimed justification by grace through faith on account of Christ alone. He taught a very simple message that Jesus Christ has taken away the sins of the world in his substitutionary death and resurrection, and that for the sake of him alone, through faith in Jesus alone, otherwise poor damn sinners like us stand justified before God. Just as if we'd never sinned. This is the truth that sets you free. These are the teachings that make you disciples of Jesus. This is what the Reformation solas were all about. They proclaimed the life-giving, sin-free gospel of Jesus, proclaimed through Scripture alone, by faith alone is received, by grace alone is given, all pointing us to Christ alone, who is our soul reformer. This is why we can rejoice when we hear the gospel in a nutshell, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, but whoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. Because by God's grace we have been given faith, forgiveness, and full salvation. By God's grace, Christians are freed from slaves to sin and made heirs of the kingdom of heaven, sons of God. The Son has set you free. He has spoken your emancipation. It is finished. Tetelestai. This good news we dare never forsake and we dare never forget. We are the heirs of the Reformation and, more importantly, heirs of the kingdom of God. And yet I know, because I didn't grow up Lutheran, I know that this all can sound too good to be true. Sometimes we'll doubt it. Sometimes we worry if we're saved or not. Ask yourself this simple question. Do you have faith in Jesus' substitutionary death and resurrection for your sins that you confess today? By the grace of God and the gift of faith, your answer would be yes to that. And if your answer is yes to that, then I can say for certain that you have faith. And in that faith, you are saved because the Son has set you free. He died once for all as he hung on a cross to bear our sins and be our Savior. You are free. This is why it is important to remember the Reformation and its clarion call to return to the Word of God as the source for all doctrine. This is why it is important to remain a member of the Lutheran Church. For while it is true that other denominations of Christianity have true believers in it, these other denominations will rob you of the peace that passes all human understanding in one form or another by their works being wrongly elevated and Jesus' work wrongly diminished. By making salvation dependent on something in you, something you do, something you feel. As I like to say, a quiver in your liver. This is why we Lutherans are not pointed to ourselves. We are pointed to Jesus. And where Jesus comes to us, his means of grace. The faithful hearing of the Word of God, read, proclaimed, sung, recited in our liturgies, read in your own homes. The waters of baptism, where you are joined to Jesus' death and resurrection and return each day to drown the old Adam and rise again that new creature in Christ. To the Lord's table, where in with and under this bread and wine today is the very body and blood of Jesus, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins and the certainty of your salvation. The absolution. As the pastor who is called and ordained declares to you, God's people, on behalf of God, not on his own behalf, on behalf of what Christ has done, your sins are forgiven. And they are. All of this, all that it does is to deliver to us Jesus, to join us to him for our salvation. Only we, the descendants of the Reformation, recipients of the Book of Concord, students of the Holy Scripture, the children of the Heavenly Father, receive Christ's gifts to strengthen our faith with nothing left to add. I know this sounds too good to be true, and yet it is true. In fact, it's the truth that will set you free because it joins you to Jesus. So let us today, as we prepare for Tuesday's 500th anniversary, as we celebrate it today, let us rejoice that today and every day, dear friends in Christ, for all God's children are called and welcomed to God's house. We are called to come to His table and taste and see just how good He is as we receive Jesus' body and blood, and with it the forgiveness of our sins. By these and through these and the gift of God-given faith, we are freed from our sins by the precious gift that God has given in His only begotten Son, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and the sending of the Holy Spirit, who is to guide us into all truth, which then means to guide us into Jesus. As the hymn writer puts it, Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus. This is truly what the Reformation is still about today. The rescuing of the gospel from the bondage of sinful reason, so that the clear gospel message may continue to be proclaimed for redeemed sinners just like us. Jesus brought true reformation to the world and for the world, the kind of reformation that changes our lives now and most importantly gives us life eternal. You see, the Son has set you free. You will be free indeed. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.